This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these messages, Pastor Rick shares practical Bible study tools that will reignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your life as you grow closer to Jesus. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share the hope of Jesus with a hurting world will be doubled. But the grant expires this Friday at midnight, so contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Understanding the Meaning of a Text.
To understand chapter 15, you got to go back to chapter 13. Now, to understand the context means to look at the verses before and after the verse that you're studying in particular. So you just don't pull it out of context. So I want to spend a little bit of time, take me a little bit of time, to take you through what happened before and after and up to the point where Jesus talks about fruit bearing. So we're going to go back a chapter or two and go back to chapter 13, and we'll walk through this. Now, as I said, he's invested 3.5 years with these disciples. He loves them. These are his farewell instructions. When somebody is saying their last words before they die, you listen. And what Jesus is going to talk about in this conversation is the most important thing he wants us to understand. Because if there was anything more important, believe me, he'd be talking about it. He is now summarizing his ministry in these four chapters. And Jesus takes them to a private room. It's called the upper room. And there they observe the Passover, which becomes the famous Last Supper, or becomes communion, which we now practice today. And in that intimate relationship with those he loves most, he starts this conversation in chapter 13, verse 1. Let me read part of that. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. In other words, he knows he's going to die on the cross. Having loved his own who were in the world, he's talking about the disciples, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So what he's going to say in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is going to show the full extent of God's love for them and for us. Now, the evening meal was being served. This is in the upper room. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and so began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, this is an incredibly intimate scene. It says Jesus knows who he is, and so he's going to perform an act of service to the disciples that's going to blow their mind. It's going to astound them. Now, by the way, you can't serve people till you know who you are. The number one thing that keeps you from serving other people is insecurity, because you don't want to be treated like a servant because you're not secure in yourself. Jesus knew who he was. He's God. And so it says he was able to take off his outer garments, and he does this lowly act of foot washing. Now, in those days, nobody wore shoes. They wore sandals. Everybody wore sandals. So your feet got dirty every day. And it was common custom that when you went to somebody's house for dinner, the first thing you did is you washed your guest's feet. It was a refreshing time. It was just lifted the mood. But it was always done by servants. And Jesus does the absolute unexpected. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, t- takes off his clothes, wraps a towel around him, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And they cannot believe what's going on. He is serving them like the lowliest servant. And it says next, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't realize, Peter, now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. By the way, you don't understand what Jesus is doing in your life right now, but you'll understand later. Okay. I mean, rarely do you know and understand what God is doing in your life when he's doing it. It is usually only in retrospect, looking back, you go, oh, now I see what God was doing in that circumstance. You can almost never see what God is doing in your life in the moment. It's only looking back. And Jesus says, Peter, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but later you will understand it. Peter said, no, Lord. By the way, that's a contradiction. You can't say no and Lord in the same sentence. Okay? He's either Lord and you say yes, or you say no and he's not your Lord. You don't say no to Lord. You don't say no to God. If he's your Lord, you don't say no to him. So this is a contradiction. No, Lord, Peter says, you shall never wash my feet. That isn't going to happen, Lord. You're the Lord. No way. Well, Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, Peter, you have no part of me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I love this guy. He said, okay, give me a bath, Lord, okay. If this is the way I get in, if this is part of it, man, get out the Shamwell and let's do a sponge bath from head to toe. Come on, Lord, the whole body, the full body, everything, Lord, come on, let's just do it all. I love this guy. He said, no, he's no way, and now, okay, everything. He's all or nothing. Reminds me of myself sometimes. Okay. And Jesus answered, Peter, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet because his whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said not everyone was clean. You see, Judas was still in the room. They had had Passover together, and Judas is still in the room, and Jesus goes, so you're clean, but not all of you, because he knows Judas is still here. One of them is going to betray me. And later, Jesus says to Judas, whatever you got to do, go do it, and Judas leaves. And later in over chapter 15, we read it earlier, he says, now you're all clean. Why? Because Judas wasn't with him anymore. Here's the 11 true blue guys who stuck with him through thick and thin. Now, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? Jesus asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. I am the Lord, and I am your teacher. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also you should wash the feet of one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. He is giving a beautiful, intimate picture of serving each other. Now, this is the first lesson he's given to the people closest in his life before he dies. Jesus knows they're going to be devastated by his death. They're going to be in grief. They're going to be in shock. They're going to be saying, it's not supposed to happen like this. They can't believe it. They're going to be confused. And he goes, guys, you're going to need to love each other and you're going to need to serve each other. So I'm giving you this example to hang in there together. And for the rest of the chapter, chapter 13, Jesus emphasizes the importance of loving each other. Because he said, you're getting ready to go through some tough times, and I want you to love, and I want you to serve each other. Then we come to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, Jesus makes a number of promises. This is the same conversation. They're still in the upper room. He's still talking to just 11 guys. Now, Judas is left. And he knows they're going to go through some stuff, and so he gives them some promises to encourage them. Four of them specifically. In the first 11 verses, he said, now, you guys, don't worry, because I'm going to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you. So don't worry. Don't worry. It's all working out. That's the first thing. Then in verses 12 to 14, he says, oh, and by the way, you don't need to worry, because you can talk to me anytime in prayer. I'm not going to be here physically anymore, but you can ask anything in my name and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So go ahead and do it. Just don't worry. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And don't worry, because you can always talk to me in prayer. Then in the next few verses, verse 15 to 25, he says, don't worry, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to put my Spirit to be inside you and to be with you. And he will be your strength. And he will be your comforter. And he will be your guide. And he will be your counselor. So you don't need to worry. No, I'm not going to be here. But the Holy Spirit's going to be here with you. And then he says, in the last few verses, 27 to 30, he says, don't worry, because I'm going to give you the gift of peace. And he said, it's peace not as the world gives. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You can count on that. You're going to have problems. But I'm going to give you peace, and my peace overcomes the world. So I'm going to heaven, preparing a place for you. You can talk to me anytime in prayer. I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you, and I'm going to give you the gift of peace, so that no matter what goes on, you're going to be at peace on the inside. And that's all chapter 14. At the end of chapter 14, the last verse, he says this. Look up here on screen. Verse 31. He now says, come now, let's leave this place. So Jesus and the 11 disciples leave the upper room. And they're walking out of the upper room, and they go down into the valley. Jerusalem's up on a hill, and up to the other side, where they're going to climb up to, on the other side of the mountain, where is Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is going to pray, and then he's going to be arrested. As they're walking from here to here, they're walking through the vineyards of Jerusalem. And Jesus sees these vineyards, and he decides to give them an object lesson. And that's where he starts chapter 15. I'm the vine, and my Father's the vineyard keeper. And every branch that stays connected to me, it's going to bear fruit. But if you get disconnected from me, you're not going to bear fruit. So you got to stay connected to me, guys. I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be with you, but you got to stay connected to me. And he goes on and he talks about the bearing fruit by staying connected. And then at the end of that object lesson, he says this in verse 11. Look up here on the screen. Now, I've told you this, all these things about serving, about loving, about heaven, about you can always pray, about the Holy Spirit, about the gift of peace, and about bearing fruit. He says, this is all one conversation. I've told you all this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, that's called the context. Who's he talking to? Why is he saying it? To give him encouragement. Now, knowing the context, what do you think the odds are that Jesus meant when he is trying to give encouraging words to his disciples who he knows are going to be discouraged, and he loves them, and he wants to encourage them, so he says this, you guys, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut off from me, you're going to lose your salvation, and you're going to burn in hell. Now, I've said this that your joy may be full. Nonsense. It makes no sense at all. The context totally disproves that idea that he's talking about hell. There's no way in hell he's talking about hell. Okay? He said, I said this that your joy may be full. You think it would be joyful to say, oh, by the way, I'm leaving, and if you don't stay connected to me, you go to hell. And you're going to burn. And you're going to be disconnected. And you're going to lose your salvation. And that's not at all what he's talking about. And as we get into this, you're going to see what that means. But the context makes that interpretation nonsense. So the first thing is you look at the verses before and after. What does it mean? The second principle of interpretation is this. You must define the key words. If you're going to get the right meaning of a Bible verse, You've got to make sure that you understand what the word means, not what you think it means. And just because it means something somewhere else doesn't mean it means that in this particular verse. Have you ever had an argument with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend because you both used the same word but meant different things by it? Nod. Those of you who are not nodding are lying. Kay and I have this argument every day, every single day, because I'll use a word and she'll use a word, and we mean totally different things using the same word. So you just can't assume you know the meaning of a word. Words have multiple meanings. For instance, does this word have multiple meaning? Grass. Yeah, it really does. How about trip? Yeah, it has multiple meanings. How about lean? It could mean lean on me, or what's Pastor Rick's going to look like after the Daniel plan finishes. I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. Okay? So the word band means a thin strip for binding, a group of musicians, a ring of elastic, or to gather together. Different meanings. Context determines what it means. If we use the word batter, you might be talking about the liquid you use to make a cake, and I might be talking about a baseball player. Batter. If we use the word bail, you might be talking about getting rid of water, and I'm talking about paying to get a guy out of jail. Same word, different meaning. You can use the same word in the same sentence, and it means two very different things. Like, that song is the bomb, but she who sang it, she bombed. Means the exact opposite thing in the same sentence. Did you know that the word, I've told you this before, the word pen in English, P-I-N, has 62 different meanings. It could mean a pen like, you know, a stiff piece of wire with a sharp point. It could mean a thin fastener to put together bones that are fractured. It can mean a part of a lock. It can mean a baking rolling pin. It can mean a bowling pin. It could mean the number for your credit card. Pin number, okay? It could mean to take somebody down in wrestling, to pin them, okay? It could mean a flagpole in a hole at a golf course, hitting the pin, on and on. It could mean a stylus on the dot matrix printer, a pin. It has about 62 different meanings. As a verb, you could use it to mean to pin, to give a young woman a fraternity pin in the token of attachment. I pinned her. Or it could mean I pinned him, I forced him into agreement. Or I put the blame on him for a crime. The crime was pinned on him. It could mean to immobilize a chess piece on the game. I pinned it. I pinned his king. It means to not care at all. It has all kinds of different meanings. So when you look at a verse in the Bible and you see a word, you can't automatically assume, for instance, like fire. Oh, that must mean hell. Well, not necessarily.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Did you know you can start every day with hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick? Well, you can when you sign up to receive his life-changing daily Bible teaching delivered directly to your inbox. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up for his free Daily Hope devotional. Don't miss out. Sign up now at PastorRick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, we have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $50,000 matching grant. That means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide will be matched, up to $50,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever amount you give will be doubled by the grant. But don't wait, because this opportunity will be gone at the end of this month and will miss out on any amount left over from the grant if not matched. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 and we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called Bible Study Methods to Say Thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so contact us today. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we're told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing how when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
Remember, when you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004, and we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called Bible Study Methods to Say Thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Please be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.